This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Now, welcome to the next episode of The Real Royal Family. And we have our senior host, which is the Holy Spirit, the reason that I live and move and have my being. And then I'm your co-host, Valerie Wright. And my role is as your spiritual Harriet Tubman. And today's topic is Alter, A-L-T-A-R, Alternator, and Walter Matthau. So the image we're going to keep coming back to is the image of a rescue animal. And right now you feel bewildered, abandoned, rejected, abused, neglected. But that is not how you were designed to be. And so now that we're coming out of the cage and out of the cave, we are going to learn a very key and powerful tool of our royal family, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of life. It is an altar, A-L-T-A-R. And you'll hear me say it differently, so you'll know. So it's altar, an altar, T-A-R, an altar, okay? The Webster's definition of altar is a usually raised structure or place on which sacrifices are offered or incense is burned in worship. Often used figuratively to describe a thing given great or undue precedence or value, especially at the cost of something else. Keep that in mind, right? So in the etymology, that means how you break down a word, the root of a word and what it means. Middle English alter, T-E-R, also comes from the word altar, so which means that they are very close connected. So the altar is used to alter things, okay? And the Latin word altare is, it says, is probably akin to odolere, which means to burn up. So the definition alter, T-E-R, is a transitive verb. It means it's going to make something different without changing it into something else. So it's like if you castrate or spay an animal. Okay, you don't change what it is, you know, if it's a Shih Tzu or a little pit bull, once you spay it, it's still a Shih Tzu or a pit bull, okay? So synonyms and antonyms will also help to understand what word means. And you'll understand why I keep digesting the meaning of words. So alter, T-E-R, means make over, modify, recast, redo, refashion, remake, revamp, revise, rework. So that's alter, but that's also what an altar does, okay? And it varies. Some of the antonyms, opposite meanings of it, so that means when you don't go to the altar to give a sacrifice of something, you don't get a change. So that means you stayed fixed. These are the antonyms. You stay frozen, you stay set and stabilized. So the purpose and the end result of altars are the incense, okay? The smoke, the aroma, the odor of burning sacrifice, sweet smoke of sacrifice, incense, perfume, okay? So as a noun, the word incense, it means a material used to produce a fragrant odor when burned. The perfume exhaled from some spices and gums when burned. A pleasing scent. It's sometimes it also means, you know, flattery. So the verb to incense means, it's a transitive verb. It means to arouse the extreme anger or indignation of. So that means when we don't go to the altar to burn up things that the word says don't belong in his kingdom, then there is a position that a holy God must make. And holy means that he is separate, that there isn't anything dark or evil or unholy in him. So in order for us to be fully grafted into him, we have to do what he says. He doesn't do what we say, okay? So if we want to burn and be a delightful and gratifying and pleasant smell to the King who gives us all good and perfect things, then we must go to the altar. We must be a fragrant. We must be a perfume and a balm to who our Father is. Or else what happens is we remain, okay? So remember, freeze, we remain fixed, stench, we reek. There's an outrage and an enragement, okay? An inflamement that happens when we don't go to the altar and burn up and sacrifice what does not belong on us or in us or from his kingdom, okay? To set on fire, that's incense. And that also means that we begin to glow, okay? So when we get on the altar and we burn up the things that don't belong in our Father's kingdom, they're not from him, so he doesn't want us to have it. It's like, you know, you have a little child and they're playing outside, and then they come inside and they have like a dead rotten rat in their hand, and like, ah, look what I found, and you freak out, and they have no idea that you don't want that dead vermin that's rotting and little fleas were living on it, and now that thing is in your house, and then you like take it outside where it belongs, and honestly, let's really burn it, because if you don't burn it, then the next thing that brings it inside might be the cat or the dog. All right, so we go to the word altar. It's also an article. That's a form of grammar. An article as a noun, a document setting forth the terms of an agreement. A subject under consideration, a subject of disagreement or litigation, something to be proved in law. So when we go to the altar, part of what that does, it's a substance of which a physical object is composed. An article is something written or printed, and one of the jobs of the altar is to change it. So you go from being illegal and illegitimate to legal and legitimate and a rightful heir. The other forms of the word article, okay, so it's a separate clause. So these are the legal terms. It's a stipulation, sensible or serious, as distinguished from nonsense or drollery. So we got to really understand, we're not playing here. We can make this not drudgery, but we also have to know these things must be done in order for us to be free and free indeed. And they are not done on our terms. They are done on the terms of our King and his kingdom. He's a monarch, okay? And the reason I keep going over altar, alter, that it's a noun and it's a verb, that incense can be a noun and a verb, and that being incensed is part of that, and that altar is also, it can be an article, and what is an article, it gives you all the hints and the facets and the of what this is. So in grammar, you have to understand, so many people misuse language, and a lot of times it's out of ignorance, and sometimes it's because they want to abuse you and use you. So it's just like, you need to know the difference, that the word spelled B-O-W, it could be a bow, a bow, or a bow. It could mean to bow down, it can mean a hair bow, or it can mean a bow, or bow and arrow. So words, you should know, no one has ever seen a word. So the ink on a paper, they're not words. The words we speak are contracts. The words we speak are messengers. They are going to do a job. That is part of the miseducation of the kingdom of darkness. So be very aware that the words you are speaking are designing your life. So if you just talk and talk and talk and talk, and if you joke too much, and if you're one of those people that put yourself down or you idolize a particular artist, just recognize what your words are doing, what your heart is doing, and that there's a kingdom that is receiving those words. And it's either worship to the one true living King, the only one who is holy, holy, holy. He is so separate. He's the only one that deserves our worship. And so that's the perfume. But when you worship yourself, your own opinion, other people, your job, money, vanity, plastic surgery, somebody's shape, the color of their skin, the texture of their hair, you're now fetishizing something and you're worshiping something. You don't love that thing. You just love how it makes you feel. And just as quickly as that nice new shiny thing made you feel happy, in the blink of an eye, it'll make you feel unhappy and unfulfilled, and then you'll begin to turn on it and abuse it. So be very careful when people start to fetishize you and worship you, because they will turn on you, because that is the nature of flesh. The arms of flesh will fail you, but God will never fail you. Let's use another form of grammar when people think they know what they're talking about. And there's a lot of different ways that this word is used. Submit. It can be used at work. It can be used in a relationship. It can be used by religious systems. It can be used in families. So when people are using that word, because anybody who keeps talking to you about submission, they don't understand the root of the word submission, because submission is earned. It is not forced. If it's forced, it then becomes oppression. Submission must be given willingly. And the reason people submit to other people is because there is an attitude that person is exhibiting. So when people are usually trying to abuse someone, they will use that word, submit. And submission is an agreement, all right? So one person can't make you give it. People who behave like the devil love to use the word submit to control other people. So you just be on high alert every time you hear it. Never, ever, ever submit to someone who has no self-control. Jesus, who died for you, can talk about submission, one, because he submitted himself to the Father, and for many reasons. He also backed it up with his life, with his ability to multiply systems. So Jesus was able to prove that he was worthy of being followed because he was a multiplier. So there's no shortage. So you can follow him, and anything that you believe that you're giving up, you'll get something equal or better. So he's a multiplier. He's an adder, okay? It's not an or else. It's you choose. So when you follow life, you will get life. When you follow and submit to death, you'll get more death. Submission, so sub means to get up under. Mission means to get up underneath someone's goals. Someone's telling you to submit to them. Do they even have a mission? Do they have a purpose in life? And they want you to follow them, but you have no idea what their purpose is? No one has a right to tell you that you should come and submit to me and get up underneath my purpose when they have not shown to you that, one, they have a purpose and that they are capable of exercising and making that purpose come to fruition. And also, what is God's mission for you? If someone wants you to submit just so they can get sexual pleasure out of you, you are dealing with a human trafficker. You're dealing with a madam, or you're dealing with a pimp, you're dealing with a narcissist, you're dealing with a hater of people because they hate themselves. And if you submit to that, you will become exactly who they are, because they will mold you into that same system that they are. Whoever you submit to, whoever you follow, whoever you worship, whosoever altar you get onto is what you become. Anyone who yells submission but have no purpose, they will not die for you, nor will they get a job for you. Nor will they speak kindly or gently to you. We're going to dissect that in a future episode. But let's get back to the word altar. So language is often taught and miseducated to us as communication. And language words are communication, but they are also destiny shapers. The words we speak are things. They have origins. Like Hebrew words in the Bible, they can have 3 to 10 meanings. So if someone claims that they're dissecting the Bible for you, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and there's nothing wrong with having someone who has studied, you know, Greek and Hebrew. And they really take a lot of time and love to dissect things so you can then not be led astray. But before you devote your essence to be consumed on the wrong altar, which can alter your destiny, you need to know about who you are burning yourself on the altar for. So our God says, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, and this is how I say it: "For God, I thank you because I know the plans you have for me, plans for good and not evil, plans for prosperity and not calamity, and plans that I may have a good future." The thoughts we think come before the words that we speak. So what are the thoughts you think of you? Are you only valid if you're dating someone? Is the someone you are dating an altar of life or an altar of death? The one who made you knows. And before you start trying to feel loved, you should even know what love means. And I will also do that in another future podcast. But if I'm just going to bring the word love to a very quick and precise parable and picture, love is exactly what Jesus did for you, all right? If a person will not live for you, dedicate their life to you, die for you, in their daily behavior, consistently treat you with kindness and respect, and not allow you to live a lie, not allow you to march to your own death, but when they are talking to you, pointing out to how your choices are killing you in a kind way, right? So if their dedication is not towards you, then it's not from the kingdom of light and life and love. So, and if dedication wasn't important, then neither the Father nor the evil one would need you to confess with your mouth and dedicate your life to them. And just to also remember that you can't sell your soul. Your soul, all souls belong to God. But you can get on a demonic altar and exchange or trade God's destiny for you, and give the evil one the opportunity to rewrite and exchange sorrow for God's joy, and exchange God's goodness for the evil that they have for you. I don't know why anybody would want that, but just remember that the other kingdom comes, it's an imitator. It's going to seek to trick you first. If it's coming and chasing you, making promises to you, sit back and relax and watch the fruit, okay? Because if you need to decide right now, then usually there's some gimmick. That's exactly what con men do. They keep talking and talking and talking and talking. Let you take a breath and think about it and sit back in peace. Does it give you peace? So no amount of gold rocks or colored paper or fake titles or imitation power is worth you living a life of torment and evil. Since everything the other kingdom does is imitation and fake and a fraud, whatever they promise or plan to reward you will also be a lie and an imitation and a fraud. And what you think that they promised you when you got over and you got a microwave fame, wait until you're not able to sleep at night. Wait until that kingdom tells you you must now kill someone, and you can't kill somebody who you don't really love. It has to be someone you adore. It has to be your little darling. You will have exchanged something worth 100 billion, worth more than 100 billion, for a bag of plastic or glass trinkets. Okay? So what happens on the altar in the natural is also parallel what happens in the spiritual. So to burn incense is to sacrifice. So incense is not the only thing that's burnt on the altar, but when it rises up to the heavens and God knows it is a true sacrifice, He receives it as a burnt sacrifice. He receives it as a smoke of sweetness. He receives it as something that costs you something. And the person who has so much that there's not anything you can buy for him, your love and your obedience is what means more than anything, because he's love and he's obedience. So now you're talking his language and he could understand that. So in the spiritual realm, an altar is a place of exchange. So when we go to Jeremiah 29:11, so remember, in this spiritual, an altar is a place of exchange. And so Jeremiah 29:11 in the King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So Jeremiah, once again, 29:11 in the Amplified says, "For I know the plans and thoughts." So remember, thoughts are things. "I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." If you don't have peace and well-being, and if you have a lot of disaster in your life, you are serving the wrong kingdom. You are burning on the wrong altar. You are sacrificing to the wrong God. Complete Jewish Bible. "For I know the plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai, plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have hope in a future." And this one is the one that I really love, the Message Bible. Sometimes it doesn't hit home, but this time I believe it really hit a home run. So this is Jeremiah 29 verses 10 and 11. So it talks about, remember we spoke about Babylon. This is God's word on the subject. "As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." Now, Israel got into captivity in Babylon is because they kept playing Babylonian games. They kept marrying into the Babylonian culture. And just remember, culture and traditions, that doesn't just mean what people eat. It means how they think, who they worship, what they burn on the altar. So if you just think you're going to marry somebody else from a belief system, and you are a believer in the kingdom of light, you're a believer and a follower of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Light has nothing to do with darkness. You cannot marry a person believing that you can convert them after marriage. The bad apple turns the barrel of good apples bad. You can't put a good apple in a barrel of bad apples and turn it good. That is the direction that things go. So don't make trouble for yourself. And if you've done it, then it is for you to repent and begin to now to take action in the spirit realm. Stop talking and talking and talking to the person and talking to the God that can change the condition. If you didn't know, now you know. But now you must do something besides murmur and complain. And we're going to get to that. The Savior already came. So you're going to stop doing it. Stop waiting for someone to come and save you. You do it. You are not a victim. You have the seed of victory in you. If you believe in the one true living God, that means you have the entire power of every universe in you. But that means that you're going to have to go to the altar daily. It might be hourly. And to exchange stench for aroma, you have to do it. You bring the fire and you bring the sacrifice. He brings the change. At the altar, you are the sacrifice. Sometimes it's your belief system. Sometimes it's your lifestyle. Sometimes it's your boyfriend or girlfriend you're fornicating with. Sometimes it's the fact that you are doing shrooms or dressing a certain way or speaking a certain way. He won't force you. He won't bully you, nor threaten, nor manipulate you. God wants you to give it to him. God wants to burn off you. Remember the sludge we talked about in you? It's the stench of the death kingdom. So when you smell like that kingdom can identify you and track and trace you, no matter how much you pray and cry on your knees. When you are using the tools of the kingdom of darkness, and when you are on the altar of the kingdom of darkness doing sacrifices to their kingdom, you are exchanging in their trading system. The death kingdom wants you to smell like a stench, and the kingdom of life wants you to smell like the rose of Sharon. Beautiful, wonderful fragrance. God wants to make an exchange from stinking up your whole life to a beautiful shalom future. So you're now on the first few steps out of the cage and out of the wizard's cage. So you're with your spiritual Harriet Tubman. We are walking on our journey towards the real royal family. But you now have to unlearn the miseducation from the other system, which is all around you. It's in the music. It's on the commercials. It's in the schools. The wizard has done a job on you since childhood with the trauma, with everything done to you, the demoralizing acts that it's done to you. You know what the best revenge is? Is to take yourself and walk right out of the clutches of the demonic spirit that's trying to hold you in hell and make sure you go to hell. It wants you to hate. It wants you to be angry. It wants you to curse and feel resentment and bitterness and be depressed. We are walking out of the cage, out of the cave, out of the sludge, out of the stench. Every step you take forward with your spiritual Harriet Tubman and our senior partner, the Holy Spirit, we go further away from death and darkness and closer to the light. Be patient with yourself on this journey as you are now dedicating and burning up disgusting things on the altar and exchanging them with our Father's beautiful kingdom. Things are going to start to make it look very dark before the dawn, but just know that that is natural. That is the other kingdom having a hissy fit and is trying to scare you and make you think that you'll never get out. But you just keep walking and you just keep knowing. And you just remember the rescue animal. At first, they're a little crazy. They won't go on the wee-wee pad. They kind of growl at you or they cower in the corner. And they don't. It's all kinds of nonsense that you can get from rescue animals. Some, the ones that have been treated the worst. The ones of you that have been treated the worst. I just pour God's love and goodwill on you. I pour God's love and blessing on you. I pour and I pray God's love and goodwill on your mind, into your heart. Every day a stone gets removed off of your heart. You are not alone. I pour God's love and goodwill into your soul. Every day you are smelling less and less bad as you get further and further away from the putrefaction. Every day you read the releasing the power of the blood confessions. You are washing off more defecation. You're washing the putrefaction off of your hands, off of your face, out of your hair, out of your nostrils, out of your clothing and your shoes. The washing is taking place both inside and out. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we are washing death away and we are putting more life into your mind so you can begin to speak more power of life into your life. So to alter your life, you must exchange your thoughts, which will change your words. And in our kingdom, the only thoughts which can be trusted have come from the Father of Lights above, come from God's word. So there are only two kingdoms. Stay the course. You're going to stay the course. You're going to print out the quest board. You're going to remove yourself from the feeling of it. And you're going to move your piece on the game board so you can get further away. It's a symbol. All right. The further you get away from the cage and the wizard's cave, the closer you get to the Father's kingdom. Like I said, you stay the course. It's always darkest before the dawn, and the other kingdom does not want to lose you. You can go back, but here's a warning. Every time you go back and you just choose, like, oh my God, I made a mistake by coming back here, by surrendering. I thought, you know, it was hard to change, but now I realize if I don't change, I will be miserable. And you don't know how long you'll be miserable for. You don't even know if you're thinking suicide. You don't know how many people tried to kill themselves and didn't make it. And some of them are quadriplegics now, and they can't do it. So I'm telling you, that's what that other kingdom wants you to do. If you really want to get revenge on them, the best thing you can do is come back to the royal family, join your kingdom, learn the tools of your kingdom, and begin to annihilate the kingdom of darkness. And then once you get strong enough, then you go and you get captives back. And you plunder hell, in the words of Reinhard Bonnke, to populate heaven. So you get yourself out first. Don't worry about saving anybody else, because sometimes you try to save other people like a lifeguard and those people can pull you down. You get you out first. You get you out first. So each time you try to go back after you've tried to escape. So the first time, the fortress is made out of paper. Paper's pretty easy to punch through. There's different kinds of paper. There's cardboard and there's regular paper. But still, you can get through it time and time again. You know, the easy part about paper, you just keep adding some water to it every day. Then you just be able to just poke your finger right through. But the next time you try to escape, they're going to make the fortress out of wood. And then the next time it's going to be made out of glass. And then brick. And then iron. So right now, just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. No matter what it looks like, you take a deep breath and you trust. You are not alone. You have not been abandoned. It only feels that way because there's an invisible kingdom screaming in your ear telling you it was better where you came from. And that is a lie. How do you know? Because you've never been to the kingdom of freedom and light and goodwill and blessings and love and answered prayer and intimacy with the one true living God, where you hug him and you blow kisses to him, and then something that was just a thought that you wanted shows up in your life. I'm telling you, our kingdom is a kingdom of the deepest kind of romance you will ever get. If he's the lover of your soul, then why would you want to be anywhere else? So you're ready for your next sacred kingdom tool, and I just put it on you, but I need you to say it about yourself right now. And this tool is so powerful, you might not be able to pick it up fully and swing it around right now, but every day you pick it up a little bit more and you do it over and over, and next thing you know, you'll be an expert at it. So in the mighty name of our infinite, holy, holy, holy Spirit, you're going to say, I bless myself with God's love and goodness. Say it. I bless myself with God's love and goodness. I bless my mind with God's love and goodness. I bless my heart with God's love and goodness. I bless my soul with God's love and goodness. And here's where it's going to get tricky right now. But I'm going to tell you this, okay? You want to first take the venom out of the snake, and then you also want to break its fangs. This will do both, all right? So we're going to defang our enemy right now. And when you defang them, it also makes, they can't hang on to you. They can't follow you. They won't be able to find and trail you in the spirit realm and torment you while you sleep. We're going to do it. You ready? You're going to bless your enemy with God's love and goodness. Say it. I bless my enemy with God's love and goodness. That person that just popped into your mind, say it. I bless with God's love and goodness. They now have to answer to God. Because guess what? Let me show you how tricky the other kingdom is. You think your anger and your resentment has any power to do anything to anybody else? It absolutely not. Absolutely not. It has no power. What it is doing is destroying you. It's keeping you in chains. It's keeping you bitter and angry and snapping at things. It's keeping you overweight. It's keeping your blood pressure high. Okay? So you bless yourself. You bless your parents, whether they were good or bad. You bless your siblings, whether they were good or bad. Your co-workers, anyone who has lied on you. You bless yourself. Forgive yourself for the things you've done that were bad. And you stop doing it from this point on in, okay? I will agree with you on that. And you will see your beauty is going to be enhanced. And your lovely fragrance will increase as you begin to get further grafted into the real royal family. Now let's finish off this episode. So we said altar, A-L-T-A-R. You're going to burn on that altar every day. You're going to become more beautiful and more fragrant. You're just going to be so irresistible to the Father. And the altar is an alternator. It changes. It exchanges stench for fragrance. All right? And now we're going to get to Walter Matthau. So Walter Matthau is a great American actor, and he was in a Broadway play first by Neil Simon called The Odd Couple. So Walter Matthau was the mess. He was the Oscar Madison, and then the other guy was Felix Unger. Felix was the neat guy. So you don't have to choose to be fun-loving or neurotic. You don't have to choose to be a slob or a neat freak. You don't have to choose either or. You can have it all. But what you can't have is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness at the same time. So you have to get on the altar and you have to exchange what you were not meant to have, what you were not meant to carry, where you were not meant to be, for your true destiny. The one that wrote your book, the one that made you, the one who formed you in your mother's womb so you would have a good and a perfect future. Okay, so let us now say shalom, shalom, and may you have all that God has for you so you can finish your race and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I love you, and Jesus loves you more. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone down his crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.